I'm grateful to Robert for reading that long chapter for us. And really, the text, if you like, or the passage that we're concentrating on, but the text, as it were, is in Joshua chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And the idea came to me some time back in my personal reading and Bible study, and the phrase that really hit me, as it were, as a text or a focus for a communion service in chapter 6 and 7, in the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So really the title of the sermon, What Do These Stones Mean? Let me digress for a moment. I think we have a picture, at least I hope we have, of it. I, for 20 years in First Kilrath's Church, is the picture up? No? I was 20 years, as many of you know, in First Kilrath's Presbyterian Church, which is not so terribly far away from here. It's a lovely building. It's even lovelier inside with all its coloured windows and so on. And it was there because, of course, a great fire in 1971 damaged the old meeting house that seated 1,000 people. And in 1975, the building, as you see on the slide, was erected. And I'm sure maybe some of you have been to it. But what you may not know is, in the next slide, we'll show you, there is a little cairn of stones in the shape of almost a beehive at the corner. And probably people come to the church, they never possibly look at it, they never see it because you drive round into the car park, it'll never catch your eye. What do those stones mean? Well, those stones were taken out of some of the stones that were left out of the original building. And they were built into that little cairn just to be a reminder that at once there was an old building where that new building now, well, it's not new now, it's over 50 years old, where that current building stands, there was a reminder of something that had happened in days gone by. What do these stones mean? And that made me think of the passage that we're thinking on today. What is the context of the words that was in our reading that Robert had for us from Joshua chapter 4? The book of Joshua reminds us of God's faithfulness to his promise. How that years and years before, a promise was made to the people of Israel that they would eventually possess the promised land. Now, it took a long time, longer than it should have done. And it almost probably, to many of them in the intervening years, they probably felt that the promise had been forgotten. But of course, it wasn't forgotten. The people's, the divine purpose had been thwarted by man's sin and disobedience. And here now in the book of Joshua, we have this account of the fulfilling of the promise in the conquest of Canaan. The chapter that was read for us gives us an account of the miraculous passing of the Israelites through the Jordan. And 12 stones were taken out of the Jordan, and the people marched to the channel, the waters closed again, and a stone monument was erected as a memorial at a place called Gilgal. Throughout the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, we are given accounts of memorial occasions to help us to remember. For example, the Feast of the Passover is one such event in the Old Testament. And the sacrament of the Lord's Supper that we'll be coming to shortly today is another such example in the New Testament. In the case of the Passover to this very day, in a Jewish household when the Passover would be celebrated, a boy will be primed to ask a question. And the question will be something like this: Father, what does this mean? and then it will be an occasion to tell the story and to relive the event and to bring it, as it were, right up to life. In our reading, the reason for setting up the 12 memorial stones was to celebrate the passing of the Jewish people after years and years of wandering into the land of Canaan. And God commanded Joshua to build this memorial so that in years to come, when generations would ask and say, "What do these stones mean?" it would be related to them how God in his mercy had brought the people from slavery to the promised land of Canaan. So you have in your mind, I hope, the picture of the question, "What do these stones mean?" And I hope you realize that we need the Old Testament to help us to understand the New. Sometimes, sadly, much of our preaching is in the New Testament, and sometimes Christians forget about the Old Testament or don't see it as relevant. They think it has passed out of importance whenever Christ came. It was John Bright, the scholar, who said that some people look at the Old Testament as an unwanted guest that we can neither entertain properly nor throw away. But, of course, the Old Testament is important because Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets. And many of the great truths about God are so relevant, are so clearly stated in the Old Testament, valuable lessons for us today. What do these stones mean? This text shows us, first point really, is the danger of man's forgetfulness. The danger of man's forgetfulness. If I had been doing a children's address today to children, and it's not always done on Communion Sunday, I would have put up a slide with a picture of some things on it. Sticky notes, a mobile phone, a knot on your handkerchief, and an elephant. And I would have been saying to the children, "What do these things have in common?" And of course, the things have in common, you used to tie a knot on your handkerchief to help you to remember something. Then you didn't know what you had tied the knot for sometimes. Or you write it on a sticky note, or nowadays we post it on a phone. And an elephant. Well, I don't know if it's true or not, but I'm told that an elephant never forgets. I remember a man came to our house when I was a child. And he said that if there was an elephant walking down the road, he said, if you hit the elephant with a stick and it came back 30 years later, it would remember you. I don't know if that's true or not. We didn't have elephants walking down the road, and I don't recommend you hit it with a stick. But we're told that an elephant never forgets. But the point is this, we forget. We do forget. Someone has said that we remember the things we should forget, and we often forget the things we should remember. And that applies, I'm perfectly sure, to all aspects of life, and it applies to all of us. We remember the things we should forget, and we forget the things we should remember. So this text, what do these stones mean to the that is recorded for us in Joshua chapter 4, shows us, and it's right up to date, because it shows us still, in 2024, the danger of man's forgetfulness. Oh yes, the passing of the Israelites through Canaan was such an important event. And for a time it would be the subject of conversation. But as time would pass, and as one generation would succeed another, and as people would have got involved with all sorts of other things as we do today, then sometimes things will be forgotten. Hence the need for a memorial stone to remind the people of God's goodness and God's deliverance in a past day. Can't you see the modern day application of this truth? Here we are in our service today. And what do we have? Well, the second point is we have a memorial of Christ's suffering. And the reason we celebrate this sacrament, there are many reasons, but one of the reasons we celebrate this sacrament is that it is Christ's appointed way of reminding us, keeping it forefront in our minds, what Christ did on our behalf. That he was and is the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. that he accomplished for mankind that which mankind could not do for themselves. And the words of Jesus, really, in the New Testament, they don't differ very much, in essence, from the text in the Old Testament. Jesus said, do this, why? In remembrance of me. Do this to remember me. How soon we forget. We live in a land where there is, a nodding acquaintance, a respectability with Christianity. But how soon we forget that if we need to make him Lord of our lives in every part, not just the Sunday worship for an hour. Let us concentrate afresh today, right at the start of a new year. And this is an exciting year for your congregation here. Who knows how it'll finish up and what'll happen before the end of it, maybe a good while. This is an exciting year. Let us concentrate again on the Lord who loves us, who has plans and purposes for our lives individually and for our congregation as a whole. Let us concentrate on the bread and wine. They are reminders of the body and blood of Christ. This is a memorial of Christ's suffering. That he paid the supreme sacrifice, that he endured sin and death for a time, that we may, if we respond to it, have the assurance of sins forgiven and life everlasting and eternal security of the soul in the life after death. Christianity is a religion of hope. A religion that offers a faith that gives hope that no other faith does. And we have here a memorial of Christ's suffering. What do these stones mean? What do these elements of bread and wine mean? They mean that in a past day, God provided for us a means of escape, a means of salvation, a means of hope, a means of grace. And they remind us something else. The third point is this. They remind us of a response that is necessary on our part. You see, when Joshua set up those memorial stones, you can picture it in your mind. It was not that those stones at the side of the river at Gilgal were to be worshipped. There was no value in the stones themselves. They were probably no different from the stones that are built in the little cairn outside First Kilrath's church. They were ordinary stones from the river bed. And in a sense, there's no value. These are ordinary elements of bread and wine set apart from a common use. We don't prostrate before them. They are visible reminders of an invisible God, an invisible love, of invisible grace, of a God who defeated the power of death. And a believer can say, O death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it tragedy, really, to think that the Israelites, with their great heritage and their leaders and so on, that they would so soon forget the Lord's leading and guiding of his own chosen people, that it was even necessary to build a memorial of stones that would prompt future generations to ask what they meant, and therefore to jerk the memory of the parents to tell of God's deliverance to the next generation, passing on that which was most important. One of the devastating effects of sin is the paralysis that it brings to mind and memory. It was the late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones who said this, and I quote, "We are so dull and stupid as a result of sin that we might even forget the death of the Son of God for us if the Lord had not ordained and commanded that we should meet together and take bread and wine." It's like the setting up of the stones of Gilgal once more. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. We dare not forget the dying love and the resurrection power. We dare not forget the transforming grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, over time, some foolish notions have got attached to the Lord's Supper. Yes, some people think that God is a God of love. Well, everybody will go to heaven. Some people believe that by consuming the bread and wine, that bestows their salvation. We are justified by faith, that great truth that was rediscovered, as it were, in the Middle Ages. We are justified in the sight of God by faith and surrender. But let's try to behold it afresh today. The love of God. The love of God that brought Jesus to the cross. The pain and the agony. We're told that he endured death, even death on a cross. Paul said that. And that word even is very significant because it was the most cruel thing that could happen. The pain and agony, the shame and abuse, the blood that was shed for you and for me, and of course the power that raised him from the dead. Yes, that's what these stones mean, or that's what these elements testify to. When the future generations of Israel were to ask that question, probably the reply would be, something wonderful happened there. Something wonderful happened in that place. And today, when the question is asked of us, what does the bread and wine on this table mean? The same answer must be given. Something wonderful happened for us. We have a great variety of singings nowadays, and I like modern singings, but I think maybe sadly we have almost forgotten about paraphrases. You know, one of the Scottish paraphrases puts it well, paraphrase 61, some of the older people I'm sure will remember it. When from the dead God raised his son and called them to the skies, he gave our souls a lively hope that they should never die. You see, we must not forget what these elements stand for. They stand for being loved with everlasting love. There comes with it a personal challenge, a challenge, a call for commitment. And right at the start of the new year, I sound it again. A commitment to the one whose body and blood they represent. And the challenge to all of us who take part in this sacrament today to put it into practice. To be salt and light in our community, that people who look at us, maybe those who may never darken a church building like this, that they would see that there's something different. They would see perhaps Christ through us and from our lips. They would hear and know of his love and of his grace. What a challenge it is to worship God, to serve him, and even for the privilege to take part once again in this sacrament. What do these stones mean? What do these elements mean? How wonderful. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we are privileged to be able to gather around this table. We are not worthy. But yet, our Father, we thank you that you call us, that you have grace. We thank you that when we come to you, you will not cast us away. Our God is gracious, nor will leave the desolate to mourn. And so, our Father, we come seeking your help and seeking that you will encourage us in faith and that you will help us as we set out upon this new year with renewed vision and with greater hope and with deeper love for our Savior, who gave himself body and blood for us, and who rose from the dead, taking the sting out of death for those that believe. Encourage us, we pray, as we come together to share in that sacrament. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.